This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Got, years of experience and Stanley Cups and that pedigree that, come playoff time, it's nice to have around. So, Certainly, that'll be somewhat of a void, but at the same time, we got a bunch of other guys who've won cups and know what it takes, and it'll be up to them to show the way.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The second season starts on Saturday, and that's Jeremy Colliton talking about Corey Crawford, at least initially, and then all the guys that have won, and we are delighted to welcome in Steve Conroy. He joins us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Steve.
Michael. Hey, David. Doing well, being safe, and I hope you guys are too.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, we're trying. Very curious. I heard you say on the playoff special, on NBC Sports Chicago, you talked about how the goalie position is 80% mental, and you talked about the pressure that Corey Crawford is used to. And, I love that idea because, obviously, physically, it's going to be really hard to ramp up as quickly as he has to after his battle with COVID-19. What do you expect from him? He's going to start, right? And he looked sharp enough, I suppose, in the period and a half that we saw.
Yeah, I thought he looked real solid. He's got a lot riding on this. I mean, not only just his pride, because he's a proud athlete, and he certainly doesn't want to be embarrassed, and he's not going to be embarrassed, but he's only basically had five practices under his belt as of today. So he's going to have a couple more before things get real. And he's also got the pressure of, being an unrestricted free agent. So he's got a lot of eyes on him. Obviously, he wants to sign in Chicago. They know what they have in Corey. So, if anyone's capable of pulling this off with very little practice and being at almost his best, I think it would be Corey. He is a very thoughtful guy, very cerebral goalie, and he's a student of the game and he thinks things through. So, not an ideal situation, but listen, it's the hand he was dealt. It was the hand the Blackhawks were dealt. I guess now he knows that he can't catch COVID, at least for the next 6 or 12 or 18 months, whatever it is. And he's got the experience of having won some cups. And listen, he was in a pretty tough situation back in 2015 where, in the first round of the playoffs against Nashville, he gets yanked. He was not playing very well. He gets yanked. The Scott Darling came in, and, of course, we all know that story. And it wasn't before the end of the series in Game 6 where he was thrust back in midway through a game. And listen, that was a real tough situation to be in, and he played very well. So I've got a lot of confidence in Corey Crawford. I think the team does too.
Steve, watching the exhibition against the Blues, the one thing that stood out to me besides watching Crawford closely was how good Kirby Dach looked and how fresh his legs seemed after the layoff. He looked like a difference maker, an impact guy that can help on special teams as well. What did you see on the ice among the players that you think, anything that will you can apply to how they could impact the game against the Oilers tomorrow?
Well, yeah, Kirby Dach, I think, is a great example because, you know, David, he's just, you know, 19 years of age, and it's amazing to think that they're going to be relying on him a lot. And I know he's playing on the third line, and third lines typically get a little more shelter than your top two, but he is killing penalties. So he's going to get a little more ice time. And we only saw him killing penalties a little bit during the regular season. So, you know, that's going to be a little different for him. I thought Calvin DeHaan looked really good on the back end. You know, we know Duncan Keith and his resume and what he's done for the Blackhawks. But, you know, what you need is you need, you know, six defensemen who are capable of playing minutes. And Calvin DeHaan certainly showed that. I thought he had a real good game against St. Louis Blues. I know he ended up taking a couple of penalties, but boy, he was real good when he was out there. Kubalik, amazing what he's accomplished this year, and he just seemed to pick up right where he left off with a couple of goals. And of course, Patrick Kane was Patrick Kane. So, you know, all in all, I thought the whole team played well. But you know, there's that analogy, and I used it in that you know, kind of the preview show that we did on NBC Sports Chicago. Of, you know, your first time going out golfing and you go to the range and you hit your 7-iron off the mat and you're just striping it. Everything's going down the middle and you pull out your driver and you hit it straight and everything feels good. It really doesn't mean anything. You know, you feel good about yourself, which is good, and it gives you a little bit of confidence. But, you know, once things start up on the weekend and we're into the playoffs, you can throw that all out the window, and it's certainly a new season. But I think the thing the Blackhawks have going for them too is this is a second life for them. They weren't going to make the playoffs. You know, mathematically they had a chance, but they weren't going to make the playoffs had the regular season played out the way it was supposed to. And they're rested, they're raring to go, and you know, anything can happen.
I got to tell you, I got a huge kick out of Duncan Keith, who was 37, talking about the fact that Adam Boqvist is closer in age to his 7-year-old son than to him. I mean, if that doesn't capture what the Blackhawks, where they're at right now with, you know, a veteran beyond veteran and a 19-year-old rookie team together, I don't know what does.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make us all feel old. I mean, you know, here's a couple of guys who, you know, they forged a really nice relationship. They've become pretty close. They hang out a lot on the road together. And, you know, I had an opportunity to watch them during this training camp 2.0 down at Fifth Third Bank Arena and where the Blackhawks held their kind of mini training camp. They played really well together, and it just seems like, you know, there's an understanding now that, listen, Dunk's an offensive guy, but he realizes that Adam Boqvist probably has a little more jump to his step and maybe a little more offense to his game. So he's giving him the green light, and he's telling the kid to go. He'll cover up for him. He'll be back there. So if you get an opportunity and you think there's a chance that you might be able to make something happen, go for it. So, you know, the experience of having one, you know, a Norris Trophy and won three Stanley Cups, and that Duncan Keith has done, he's going to be able to pass a lot of that wisdom on to an Adam Boqvist. And listen, there's other guys too. You know, Connor Murphy's played, I think it's 444 regular season games. He has yet to play in a Stanley Cup playoff game. So, you know, come this weekend, it'll be his first kick at the can too. So it's great to have that experience, and guys who have been through, you know, those battles and that war, and that's, you know, Blackhawks have a handful of those guys.
And so do the Oilers, and I think with such dynamic playmakers, Steve, I expect it to be high scoring at least at first until maybe the timing gets down and guys get used to being back on the ice. The Hawks have to stay out of the box. I think their power play has to be as consistent. It looked really good the other night. How do you see this series going, and what do you think is the key?
Yeah, the first couple of games I might be betting the over too, David. I think we are going to see some offense. And I mean, the Blackhawks really shut it down against St. Louis, but you know, that game meant absolutely nothing to the St. Louis Blues. So yeah, I think you hit on everything. The goaltending's got to be solid. You know, you need that, whether it's regular season or playoffs. In fact, for the Blackhawks, it's got to be a little better because, you know, you got those two guys up front in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who may have been the number one and number two players in the NHL when it was shut down in mid-March. Your special teams have to be better. And, you know, the Blackhawks had two power play goals against St. Louis. They went 2-for-4, and they looked really good on their penalty kill. I don't know that they allowed more than one shot over the four power plays that that St. Louis had. And, you know, they got to limit chances against. And, you know, the NHL keeps some stats now about, you know, not only chances, but high danger chances. And yet the Blackhawks led the NHL in high danger chances against. Those are chances that come within about 20 feet of your net, whether it's a 2-on-1 or a breakaway or a wide open look. And so that's got to change. So, you know, I think if you're going to look at three areas, goaltending, special teams, and just limiting chances, that's what they've got to do. And, you know, they did a real good job against St. Louis. St. Louis had seven scoring chances. Those weren't even high danger chances, seven scoring chances the whole game. So if they can keep that up, that'll be great. But it's going to be tough because, you know, Connor McDavid, not only all that skill, but, boy, you'll see his speed. And, you know, I know the Blackhawks have not won a playoff round since 2016. I think the Edmonton Oilers have only been in the playoffs once in the last 11 years. So there's a lot of motivation there, and those guys are going to be amped and juiced and you know, Blackhawks D. And it's not just the D. It's everyone who's on the ice when those guys are on the ice. They've all got to be ready.
I'm very curious because – I read that their power play was number one in the league, and their kill was number two. So that's pretty good when you look at special teams. How do you avoid picking up penalties? You know, we know they have to stay out of the box, but how do you do that when a guy is flying by you like McDavid can do?
Yeah, good question, Molly. And I've heard Jeremy Colliton kind of touch on it a couple of times, and it's a real tell for referees when your legs aren't moving and your stick's kind of in a guy's midsection or around his hands. You got to keep your legs moving. And I think Jeremy calls it checking with your legs. You just always make sure you're not gliding out there. You're not, you're not getting towed by the other guy. And that at least cuts down on a lot of the stick infractions. Now, listen, things happen really quickly. And I know as a defenseman, sometimes you get your stick in a position where maybe it shouldn't be, and it might be between a guy's legs and he's crossing over and you're going to trip him. And that's just a penalty. But you don't mind those types of penalties. You hate the lazy penalties where you see a guy behind a guy and he's maybe 3 or 4 feet trailing and his feet aren't moving and you see his stick buried in the guy's midsection. So, you know, those are the kinds of things you can control. I mean, game happens at such a fast pace that, it's hard to not sometimes take penalties. But if your feet aren't moving and you end up with a 2-minute penalty, you're going to get some, you know, ugly looks when you come out of the penalty box, especially if a goal scored. But if you kill a penalty and you make that long skate back to the bench, you feel shame.
Hey, Steve, thanks a ton. We appreciate it. Great catching up
thanks,
with
Steve.
You.
All right, guys, games. You too. Thanks.
That's Steve Conroy. You have to feel shame. That is awesome.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.